I have to be honest, Christmas morning, I really didn't think many people would be here, but once you guys heard how good I preached last night, everyone filled the building. I'm sure that's why everyone's here. No, I'm excited for the kids. I'm glad that people came to support their families here, and kids, you did amazing. Today is going to be a little bit lighter. Obviously, we don't have nursery. There's a bunch of kids in here, and some of you adults might start crying too, just like the kids. I don't know. I need a volunteer. I need a kid to raise their hand. Yeah? Hey, what do you think of me? I'm good? All right. Yeah. That's maybe a couple more. Anyone else? No, you girls can't. I gave you presents this morning, so that's not going to work. Any other volunteers? Yeah, what do you think of me? I talk a lot. Okay, all right. What about you? Either one. I'm what? Really good? Okay. All right. Let me grab this real quick. Let's say, I'm going to come back over here. What's something that that you want for Christmas, but you haven't gotten it yet? All right, it's just on your list. Do you have anything? A computer. All right. How about you? Bass guitar. Whoever said I'm really good, I actually couldn't hear it. Oh, back. Okay. What about you? Remote control helicopter, perfect. Oh, just one thing. Now, what if I told you that what you said you wanted, all right, so that helicopter and bass guitar and computer, what if I told you it was in this box and I'm giving it to you? All right, it's yours. Now, what do you think of me? What do you think about me then if I gave you a computer? Nice, all right. What was that last time? Good. Now I'm nice. All right. What about you? Still talk a lot, of course. I don't know why I'm even going over there. Griffin, what about you? If I gave you a remote control helicopter, what would you think of me? There we go. It changed, didn't it? It improved. I'm going to leave this right here. It's an empty box, so now I know you won't think anything good about me, but giving and receiving, it's Christmas. It seems pretty simple. It seems like healthy gestures, something that we do, but it doesn't always work out that way. I want to give you some examples, but what we're going to do is we're going to think about giving and receiving in terms of our relationship with God, and then giving and receiving in terms of our relationship with people. And it's very close. It's very similar what happens when you give and when you receive, whether it is with God or if it's with another person. Now, I'm not talking about sentimental items. Those things are gifts that you appreciate because of where they came from. You love the person who gave them, and they give you a gift, so then you love the gift, even if it's not really that good of a gift. I'm not talking about that today. I'm talking about useful gifts because the giver gave us something that we desired. Because the person who gave, or the God who gave, knew what we wanted, knew what we needed, and gave us that gift. The gift may lead us closer to or pull us away from God or people. I know that sounds odd. It's not about the gift, it's about our hearts. And so there's two paths. The first path is that someone gives you a gift, or God gives you a gift, and it leads you away from God or the person. Now, it doesn't seem like that makes sense, but it does happen this way. See, when I was a kid, it wasn't Christmas, it wasn't my birthday, but my dad gave me a Super Nintendo. I think it was for all the kids, but I hogged it and took it the most and played it the most. And I loved that Super Nintendo. I mean, that thing was my favorite toy. And you would think, like, so that gift would lead me to be closer to my dad. But actually, I don't think I ever said this because I did appreciate it, but actually the gift may have actually led me away from my dad in a way. Now, let me explain. When he wanted to teach me how to plant trees or paint or play catch or do any, you know, father-son stuff, I wanted to play Super Nintendo. I wanted to spend my time doing that. I loved the gift. I appreciated it. But it wasn't that I grew apart from my dad and then that just was a random thing. No, because of the gift he gave me, I actually wanted to spend less time with him. Now, obviously, I was a kid. I grew through that. And now I play Nintendo Switch instead of Super Nintendo because I'm an adult. But But a gift that actually led me to want to spend less time with the giver. It happens. It's probably going to happen today. It could be video games. It could be bikes, toys, tablets, phones. I mean, it could be a number of things, and it's not bad. It's not bad to give. It's not bad to receive. This isn't. This is turning away because of the gift. See, and what happens is the gift becomes what the giver intended to be. The idea of love. That someone gives us something and they care because they know we'll love the gift, and so you would think that that would lead us to be closer to them. When it happens, though, sometimes the giver is forgotten, at least just for a little while. And the gift becomes our idol or our god. The gift was never bad. It was very good. But it's our response that's skewed. It happened all the way back in the Old Testament with the Israelites. In Deuteronomy 8, starting at verse 11, it says, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." It's been an issue for a long time. We receive so much, and then we start to forget where it all came from. The second option, that a gift actually can draw us closer to God or to people. In both instances, the gift is the same, so is the giver. Our response is not. Just like path one, it's not about getting closer to someone just by chance. The idea is that we're looking at is that we get closer to someone because of the gift. It means that our focus on the gift actually brings us closer to the giver. And so our first thought might be that we just, okay, downplay the gift. That's naturally what we would do. Try to find things we don't like about it so we don't risk making it more important. We know that compared to having God, the gift doesn't compare. See, Paul says in Philippians 3, starting at verse 7, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." How can we value anything if we say, well, compared to Jesus, it's garbage, right? It seems to make sense to devalue something. Just take this gift, that's nice, I'm going to move on. But it's probably not the right thing to do. Is there a better gift than a car for a 16-year-old? Your 16th birthday, would a teen want anything more than that? A vehicle. You might say, well, I want a truck. Yeah, a vehicle. The teenager that gets the car and loves it, and they're excited, and they say thank you, and they have a stronger, happier relationship with their parents because of the vehicle. Or is it better that the teenager receives the car but then says, you know what, I'm going to take this and not spend time with you anymore because I want to spend all the time with my vehicle? See, we could say in one sense that the first teenager devalued the car compared to the second teenager, but that would be misleading. It's true that the first teenager didn't allow the car to consume them and wreck the relationship with their parents, but they didn't devalue the gift. They properly valued it. That's what we're going to look at. I mean, that's what we're talking about. One could even argue that they valued it more for what it was. They received and they valued the gift in such a way that it fueled their joy and the joy of their parents. This is how it is with God when we receive a blessing. James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Every good and perfect gift, every blessing, comes from God. We have to remember that. And as we accept God's gifts, we can allow those things to pull us away or bring us closer into a more meaningful relationship. As you see with the teenager and the car situation, only one is God glorifying, and really only one's going to bring joy. When we get so consumed with the gifts, I mean, that Super Nintendo was really nice, and I'm still thankful that I had it, But when we get so consumed with it, it takes us away from the things that gives us life. I mean, I think we see this all the time with video games and streaming services and smartphones. And I mean, just technology, sometimes it's a separate world, and we've got a world around us that, well, now all of a sudden it's gone, and I never appreciated it. It's really dangerous. Last year, I don't know if you remember, on Christmas Eve, I preached about the gift of presence, sharing your presence with one another. Because the truth is, these moments won't last. These kids, all these kids that are up here, actually the next time that Christmas morning falls on a Sunday, my 7 and 9-year-old will be 18 and 20. 11 years the next time this is going to happen. Life is going to change. And so how do we enjoy it now? How do we enjoy the blessings and not be consumed with maybe the gifts? How do we take the better path? And so how do we do this? Do we just stop every moment and thank you, God, for the moment that I'm laughing with my friends? I mean, we don't work that way. It would be awkward. Do we need to try to spiritualize everything, make everything about eternity? Well, yes. Paul says, Colossians 3:1, set your minds on things above. And like I said earlier, he said Christ is better than anything. But also no, because if we downplay the gifts, then we don't give God the glory that he deserves. If I downplay a gift that someone gives me, say, well, this is a lousy gift, I love you, but I hate your gift, what are we really saying? And so how do we do this? Pretty simple. First, we have to be convinced that everything comes from God, just like the scripture earlier in James. If we don't truly believe this, we're not going to worship God. If we don't believe every good gift is from him, then why would I thank him? And then why would I praise him? We might believe that we earned it, or that we deserve it, or maybe it was just luck. I just happened to get more than someone else. This path will lead us to believe that only the really big gifts are from God, that I'm not going to thank him for the daily things, just the things that I know I asked him for, and I'm sure it came from him. But when we recognize that it all comes from him, Romans 11:36, same thing, all things are from him, then we can begin to see that things aren't random and insignificant and earned, but they're blessings. 1 Corinthians 4:7, for who makes you different from anyone else? You ever ask that question? Why me? Why didn't I get this? Or why did they get that? Or why did the bad stuff happen to me? Who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did not receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? It might seem simple, but if you don't start with this idea that every good thing comes from God, that the things that I receive are blessings, I won't have a relationship with him. The gift actually can bring us closer to the giver. And if we first acknowledge that it all comes from God, then we recognize him. Through the little gifts, through the big, throughout the day, at meals, bedtime, maybe a journal, maybe you just tell your friends. And so what we do here is, I found this idea from C.S. Lewis, we thank God, and I think a lot of people do that all the time, but then we praise God. And I think sometimes there's a breakdown there. There's a big difference. In C.S. Lewis's book, Letters to Malcolm, he helps us to understand the difference. He says, I have tried to make every pleasure or gift into a channel of adoration or praise. I don't mean simply by giving thanks for it. One must, of course, give thanks, but I mean something different. How shall I put it, he says? Gratitude exclaims very properly, how good of God to give me this. That's thanks. But adoration says, what must be the quality of that being whose far-off and momentary coruscations are like this? One's mind runs back up the sunbeam to the sun. If I could always be what I aim at being, no pleasure would be too ordinary or too unusual for such reception. From the first taste of the air when I look out of the window, one's whole cheek becomes a sort of palate down to one's soft slippers at bedtime. He's pretty intricate in his writing, and I don't understand half of what he's saying, but there is some good stuff in there. The gifts aren't just so we can thank God for being a good giver. God, thank you. Thanks for what you provided. But it's so that we can start to understand how much he actually personally cares for each one of us. When we receive the gift and the giver, that we know it comes from them, and they thought of us when they gave it to us, this is the gift that I needed, this is the gift that I wanted, then it starts to matter. We start to praise God because, wow, he doesn't just provide, he actually loves me. Thanking God is biblical, but praising Him, that's what this is about. If my wife were to give me a gift and I were to thank her, that would be fitting, that would be right. But if I were to consider why she chose it, how she thought of it, I'd be drawn more than to simply give her thanks. I would think, man, she actually cares for me. I have another little box here. Hold on a second here. Just some small gifts that I've received over time. Let's see here. This was a recent one. My dad gave me this watch. He gave it to me because I didn't have a watch like this, and so he thought you would use this. It would be something that not so it's not important to me simply because it's from my dad, but because there was a need. Let's see here. I got this coffee mug last year. It was the kit from my daughter. I will say one of my daughters, because I got this other coffee mug last year from my other daughter. And, you know, obviously they're special to me because they're from my daughters, but they're also special to me because they knew that I drink coffee, and so they got me something that would mean something to me. It wasn't just a random gift. I don't know if you believe this, but this year they gave us gifts, and one of them gave me a wallet, and the other gave me another coffee mug, which is at home right now. I did my brother's wedding, and him and his wife, Corinza, and they gave me this coffee mug. Thank you for marrying us. They knew that I like coffee, and this is actually my picture. Some people think it's Barack Obama when you kind of just glance at it. And I got this. I don't know, actually, was this for my birthday? A Yeti? And it says Dad from my daughters. I don't know if you're starting to catch on what gifts. I might have enough coffee mugs at this point now, but I got some gifts already for Christmas this year. I got a Guest House coffee shop gift card and another Guest House coffee shop gift card, so thank you for those. My mom knew that I write a lot, and so she got me this journal last year on Christmas. And so something that, again, it's special because it's from my mom, but it's special because they thought of me. I didn't bring everything. I had some other things in mind. I thought I was going to wear my On shoes, but I didn't. But Tammy got me some shoes. My stepmom, she got me shoes that my feet were really hurting last year, and so she got me these shoes that made my feet feel a lot better, the only ones I could wear. And so I just think of all these things. Someone giving us something, not because it's just random. It's okay. I'm not going to put it on the manger. I'm going to put it there. But because someone cared. Now, on Christmas, you're going to receive gifts, most likely from someone. Think about why they got it for you. Think about when you give a gift, why it matters so much. Why would we grow closer to someone? Because they thought of us a little bit more, and they cared. As we praise God for certain gifts, we draw closer to Him. We not only see Him as the one who gives, but we see Him as someone who loves. And we see Him, the more we see this, the more we'll love Him, the more we'll love Him, the closer we'll be, and the more that we'll start to see Him revealed through every gift that we receive. How we receive gifts is a big deal. At stake isn't just thankfulness and gratitude, but our relationship with Him, Him being praised, and us finding joy in our lives. In order to have meaningful relationships, it's not just about giving, but it's about receiving as well. I think it's really hard to receive gifts. I think adults... the older you get, the harder it is to receive a gift. I think men sometimes have, it's just our attitudes. Sometimes it's like, well, I don't want you to have to get me anything. I don't want you to get me anything. It's just hard sometimes. And it feels good to receive a gift, but there's no joy unless the receiver receives well. We have to receive well for it to be something that grows a relationship. And so both giving and receiving, if done with love and joy, becomes a blessing to the giver and the receiver. As we go into communion this morning, I want to consider that. Being able to receive a gift with gratitude is a sign of humility, being humble, and it's pleasing to God. Both pride and low self-esteem can prevent us from having that attitude that brings us closer to our Father in heaven, as well as our family in Christ, the body of Christ. And so Jesus said, In Matthew 18:3, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. As we grow up, we can't forget this. How to receive. God gave us new life through Jesus, the perfect gift. That's what this is all about. We're here for each other. We're here for the kids. I love it. But ultimately, we all have this hope because of Jesus, because God sent a baby to come to the earth and to live and die for us, a perfect gift. How can we not be more excited than some of the kids are on Christmas morning? And so I want to finish with something that it's by Joyce Meyer, Starting Your Day Right. And she said this, what good is it to have a glass of water if we don't drink it? Our thirst won't be quenched until we do. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. The good things of God are available to those who simply surrender themselves to him and accept his blessings and mercy. People often beg God for forgiveness, but forget to say, I receive that forgiveness right now. I believe I am forgiven. Mercy is a free gift. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You can't buy it. The only thing you can do is receive it. Just humble yourself, accept God's forgiveness, and move forward knowing that you're made right with him and he loves you. See, love through the gift, us knowing that we are loved. We may not get everything we want, but we have exactly what we need in Jesus. This Christmas, remember that ultimate gift, that it was delivered to us through the form of a baby. Eventually, he died for us on the cross. He rose from the grave, and he offers us the gift of eternal life, a gift of joy, both for the giver and the receiver, a gift to you. Would you receive it in humility today? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for every gift. We know that all good things come from you, and so we appreciate you. And I just ask and I hope that you would give us the heart to praise you more and more because of what you've done for us. As I look around and see families and even these kids, God, we know that they are blessings to us. We can see the gratitude, and I just pray that you would help all of us, myself included, to see that these are not things that, even people, are not things that we've earned or deserve to have these relationships, but you've given us life, you've given us the ability to love and to be loved by others, and you've given us the exactly what we need to know that we are loved by you. So I thank you for Jesus, and it's his name we pray.